Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is great to be here. For those of you that don't know who I am Jesse. I am one of the pastors here. I am the worship team administrator and young adults pastor here at Sunnyside. And we're so glad that if you are new, that's your first time, that we welcome you here. We're so glad that you're here. For those of you that have been here for decades, we're glad you're still here. Today we're on our third of 4 weeks in our series on the body, looking at what does it mean to be the body of Christ. If you think back, the first week in our session, Pastor Nate looked at three parts of being the body. That's through transformation, through unification and participation. And then last week was our second week. We looked at the foundation that the body is set on. And today we're actually going to kind of backtrack and highlight a point from Nate's first sermon and a point from his second sermon and unpack it more in today's sermon. And so we're going to take that act of participation, and we're going to take his TED talk on being gifted last week, and we're going to look at that. If we are the body, we are made up of many different parts, but what does it actually mean to be in active service in the body, in the community? What does it mean to be the literal hands and feet? So we're going to look at our passage today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Wants to start by understanding a key thing right from this passage here, verse 27. It says that you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. It's a pretty neat thing to think about, isn't it? I want you to look at the person on your left, and I want you to look at the person on your right. I want you to turn around and look behind you. Everyone in this room gathered here today is part of that of Christ. Together, you make up this local expression of the body of Christ. See, when Paul was writing his letters, especially to those in Corinth, he wasn't writing to just a building. He wasn't even necessarily writing to people gathered in a building. He was writing to the community of believers, the body of Christ. They are the ones that make up the church. We are the body. We are the church. This place here on the corner of Rotor and Sunnyside, it's just a building. It may say Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, but it's just a building. It really has no name. You gathered inside it are Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. when Paul was writing his various different letters, he was also looking for a way to best describe to the people what it meant to be in a collection as the church. And so he used this analogy of being the body. And when you actually look at his other letters, the Ephesians, the Romans, to those in Colossians, he was actually using this reference over 30 times. But why? It's pretty simple. Everybody had a body. Everybody knew how their body worked. And so it's very easy and understandable for him to relate. This is what the body of Christ is, exactly like your body. Now, when we refer to the body as it pertains to the church, it's defined really in two ways. One would be the church universal. So that would be all of the believers across the world united as one body. Second would be this local expression of the body of Christ here at Sunnyside. And today that's what we're going to focus in on, this portion of the body of Christ at Sunnyside. We as a community make up that portion of the body of Christ. Think of it like last week Pastor Nate was saying, we're like a finger on that body. And we're called to do a few things as that finger. We're called to be in unity. We're called to be in co-unity. If you look at the word community, it literally translates to being a unified body of individuals. The second thing we're called to do in the body is to actively serve in that body. And that's what we're going to unpack today. So if you're going to take notes, I have 4 points. I know I went further than the 3 points, so you get an extra one this week. And the first one we're going to look at is, you have a gift. Now, I know that Pastor Nate started his sermon last week with a question, and I think it's worth repeating. So I'm going to ask you the same question that he asked you. Who likes to receive gifts? By a show of hands, who loves to receive gifts? Okay, perfect. How many of you could actually think, over your lifetime, you could pick out your top 5 gifts that you've received? Some of you might be easy, some of you it's like, oh, that's a lot to go through. Can you think of how much joy that those gifts, those special gifts brought you? For myself, I can think of some highlights of gifts. Got a couple guitars, got tickets to Broadway shows. But I think the one that stands out the most is about 5 years ago. I was here for worship practice on Thursday night. I came home, that was my birthday. And my wife was waiting and gives me a little box, and inside was a positive pregnancy test, letting us know that we were expecting our daughter, Madeline. How did you feel when you received those gifts? How do you think the person that gave you that gift felt when you received that gift? They probably were overjoyed with how much joy it brought you getting to see you use that gift if it was something that you could use. Now, did you know that when you were born, you were given gifts? Now, I'm not talking about baby shower gifts. I'm not talking about the balloons people brought to the hospital when you were born. I'm talking about two things. First one was you were given the gift of life. Second thing you were given were your gifts and your talents. These go beyond any material gift we could ever receive. They are God-given gifts. If we look in Paul's letter that we read today, and actually we just go back a few passages, he highlights some of these spiritual gifts. Verse 7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues." And then down in verse 28, God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to gifts. So I want to ask you, do you know what your gifts are? Not just your spiritual ones, but also your gifts and talents, your passions. Do you know what those are? Do you know what those gifts are of your family, of your friends, of those in your community? It's pretty obvious sometimes to tell what someone's gift is. I think about it in a church setting. when you show up on Sunday, you see the various people on the worship team that obviously have a gift in music. You see the various pastors and those that are coming up to speak having gifts of teaching. You see our greeters at the back that have a gift of hospitality. Whether you like it or not, you have a gift. Whether you know it or not, you have a gift. And there are gifts that we don't even think about. Being a people person is a gift. Having the gift to make someone feel welcome. Sewing, scrapbooking, building, cooking, these are all gifts. And there's also gifts of compassion, of leadership, mercy, hospitality, service. Those gifts of the Spirit. Hundreds, if not thousands, of possibilities of gifts. And most of them are gifts that we will never see in this hour and 15 minutes that we gather here. But without them, there would be no body. When I was in youth group, our youth pastor had us take a spiritual gifts test. And so we took this test, about 50 questions, multiple choice, thank goodness, because if it wasn't, I probably wouldn't have passed it. And as you take them, when you get to the end, the answers that you gave corresponded to different spiritual gifts, and then it would kind of give you a total, and you'd see which one ranks higher than the other, and then we'd go around the room and discuss that. And we could tell that, you know, oh yeah, I could have said that that person had that gift, and some of us were like, well, I don't understand why I don't have that gift. Fast forward to this year, our staff team actually took a night and did that together, and we went through that, and sure enough, we were in the same boat. We could have said before we started, oh yeah, we knew you were going to have that gift, we knew you were going to have that gift. But then there were some surprises, like, oh, why did this rank so high, or why did this rank so low? But when you actually take the time to read and understand what that gift entails, better understand why it ranked where it did. But here's the cool thing with our staff team here at Sunnyside. It didn't matter if we were gifted highly in every category, because we're a team. We're a little body. We're complementing each other's gifts. Where one person's lacking, someone else isn't. And so they're picking up that part. If you've never taken one of these tests, I would encourage you to talk to me or send me an email this week, and I'd love to get you a copy of that, just so you can see where your spiritual gifts lie. But maybe you already know what some of your gifts and talents are. Maybe it's encouragement, prayer, music, leadership, teaching, hospitality, humor, helping. The list could go on. But it's crucial to know that you have a gift, a God-given one. And God gave you these gifts to be part of this body, of this community, and it brings him so much joy when he sees you using them. The question is, are you using it? The most common reason that I've found for someone not using their gift in active service is because it's not because they don't know what it is. They know what it is, but they don't feel that it's as significant as someone else's. They feel it's unimportant. It's one of the very reasons that Paul was writing this letter to the body of believers in Corinth. See, there were separations and disputes happening amongst the Christians on a few different topics, and this was one of those topics. The people thought that their gift was better than someone else's, or that their gift wasn't as good as someone else's, and so they were all striving for that gift that they felt held more power, even if they weren't gifted in it. And that's a problem. That's still a problem now. If we look at businesses, what do we think? We think, okay, yeah, the CEO, way more important than the regional manager. Regional manager is definitely more important than store manager. The store manager is totally more important than a janitor. Same could be said in church. We think the pastor is more important than the worship leader. We think the worship leader is more important than the Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher would be more important than the greeter. You've got it all wrong. It's our nature to look at the differences, determine some to be better, and then to pursue the higher, better positions. People tend to think that those that are visible on the platform each Sunday hold a higher standing in the church than those that work behind the scenes. This is wrong on so many levels. Paul understood that we are the body made up of different parts, and those different parts all matter. And they have to work in unity as one. When we are all together different, we are more than the sum of the parts. You look back to verse 15 to 20, that the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. There's no insignificant member in the body of Christ. There is no insignificant gift in the community. How many of you have seen the Bee Movie? It's an animated family film. Few of you have seen it. For those of you that haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. We're going to watch some of it. I want to show you a clip. This clip captures this very idea about there being no insignificant gifts. The clip follows the bees after graduation as they are visiting Hunnex, which is the hub of the hive, where they will work for the rest of their life. So let's watch this clip together.
Mantenga sus manos y anteras adentro del carril. Un momento.
I wonder what it's going to be like.
A little scary.
Welcome to Hunnex, a division of Hunnesco and a part of the Hexagon Group.
This is it.
You as a bee have worked your whole life to get to the point where you can work for your whole life. When our valiant pollen jocks bring the nectar to the hive, our top secret formula is automatically color corrected, scent adjusted, and bubble contoured into this soothing sweet syrup with its distinctive golden glow you all know as...
Honey!
That girl's hot.
She's my cousin.
She is?
Yes, we're all cousins.
Right, you're
right. We constantly strive to improve every aspect of bee existence. These bees are stress testing a new helmet technology.
Sorry for the video quality, but it's the audio that I wanted you to hear. That last line, did you catch that? It says, most bee jobs are small ones, but bees know that every small job, if it is done well, means a lot. Or in my own paraphrase, every job matters to the hive. Which brings us to our second point, your gift matters. We all have gifts. Every gift matters. Each gift is unique. Imagine if we all had the same gifts and talents. Imagine for a moment, if you will, that everyone here was only gifted in preaching. Think of what Sunday service would look like. No one's going to say hello to you when you come in the door because everyone's worried about what they're going to say. Then everyone's going to gather in here. We're all going to talk over each other, trying to preach what we think the community needs to hear. There's going to be no music, and you have to yell because there's no sound. Or, imagine we're going to have a potluck. We're not having a potluck, but imagine we're having a potluck lunch downstairs. If everyone's gifted in preaching, no one wants to make the sandwiches, and no one definitely wants to stack chairs afterwards. Thank goodness God has gifted us all differently. Verse 12, our text says, just as the body of the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we're all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And Paul finishes this part of this letter by asking some rhetorical questions down in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire these gifts. The answer to all of those is obviously no. We don't all do this. Because, number three, your gift is unique. We are different. And here is the beauty of having different gifts. Let's go back to that potluck where we're going to imagine again. Again, we're not having one, but imagine again, we're having a potluck downstairs. Someone has just grabbed their plate of desserts. They're heading back to their chair to enjoy it, and it falls. Here is how different gifts would react. Someone with the gift of prophecy would shout, well, that's what happens when you're not careful. Gift of service would come over and help them clean it up. Someone with the gift of teaching would explain that the reason it fell was because they were trying to balance it on top of their coffee cup. The gift of exhortation would declare that maybe next time they should have someone help them carry it. The gift of giving would offer them their dessert. The gift of encouragement would say, don't feel bad. It could happen to anyone. And the gift of administration would delegate. Hey, can you get the mop? Hey, could you help us pick this up? Hey, could you go and grab them another dessert? Here's a group of seven people, each of them with a different gift, working together in unity to get this job done. They are actively being the hands and feet in the body of Christ. It can't be fixed by one person. One person having to shoulder everything leads to burnout. Which brings us to our final point. You are called to serve. Do you come to church simply to sit in a comfy new chair, send your gift online, and check it, and come back next Sunday? Or are you actively serving in a ministry in this local expression of the body of Christ? 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Sure, Nate, Abe, myself, we're your pastors. Beth works in our office, Joy does our bookkeeping, Ken Mansell does our custodial work. But all of us are part of the body. All of us are part of that royal priesthood to serve in the church. Remembering the church is the body of Christ. And there's no way we can do everything as your staff. We can't do everything. Remember, I said we took a test? We know we can't do everything. We're not gifted in everything. But that's why we're part of this larger body. Do you understand what happens when one part of the body doesn't work? Go back to verse 26. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. When one part of the body is not functioning the way it should, it cripples the body. When I was 19, I was playing a soccer game. I was the goalie, and it was probably our third game of the season. Instead of diving to save the ball, I ran and slid, hit my foot in a divot, wrapped it around the goalpost. Tore every tendon and ligament in my foot. Found a year later, it was actually broken and healed incorrectly. And now I'm stuck with it for life. For that summer, I was on crutches and at Silver Lake in a wheelchair. My foot was the only thing that was injured. It affected my whole body. The same is said in the church. Here's an example for you. Imagine, if you will, that all of our audiovisual guys and girls decided their gift was insignificant and that they were no longer needed. It might look something like this. How would you like to come to church every Sunday? Like this. Seriously. How would you like to come to church every Sunday? Can you hear me in the back?
Why?
Exactly. They are a vital part of the team. What if we as pastors decided we don't need to preach? Who's going to do it? Who is going to preach every Sunday? Will you still come to church? We're already experiencing varying shortages in the ministries across Sunnyside. Clear example, when we reopened after COVID, our nursery hasn't reopened. We've had people that have wanted to come to Sunnyside that can't because we don't have a nursery program. We have people that were attending Sunnyside that have left because we don't have a nursery program. The number two thing about people not using their gifts, the first thing was they feel it's insignificant. The second reason of people not actively being the hands and feet of the body is they feel they don't have the time. God has called each of you to serve. God has gifted each of you in a unique way to serve. And all he asks is that you use your gifts to serve the community. And he has promised that whatever you give, it will be given back tenfold. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. I find so much joy in serving in ministry here at Sunnyside. And I've had many people come and ask me, how are you not tired? How are you not exhausted? When I'm serving in my gifting, I'm being filled up as much as I'm pouring out. However, when I'm serving in a place where it's not my gifting, and I know that, and I don't ever want to go back, I feel so drained, and it can wipe me out for weeks. So I focus on where am I gifted, I'm going to get plugged into those ministries, and I'm going to be filled up as much as I'm pouring out. And that's why I serve with such a joyful heart, expecting nothing in return. However, a warning. There is such thing as serving too much. You may be involved in many different ministries in the church and community, and I want to caution you on that. You need to make sure that you are serving in your gifting. Like I said, you need to be feeling filled up as much as you're pouring out. Because when you're working outside of your gifting zone, it's not just you that's suffering, it's everyone else in the body that's suffering as well, because your ministry is now subpar. Maybe you're serving somewhere that you shouldn't, because that's where all of your friends are serving. Or because there was a need, and you're like, well, no one else is stepping up, so I'm just going to step in and fill that. But it's not where you're called to be. You leave feeling drained. Maybe it's time for a change. If that's one of you, come and talk to one of the pastors. We'd love to have conversations to find out where your giftings lie and maybe shift you into another area of ministry where you will thrive. Because here's the thing. If everyone served within their gifting and was being the active hands and feet of Jesus in this church, there would be no need for someone to be over-serving and burning themselves out. Each of you has a gift. Your gift matters. Your gift is unique, and you are called to serve. Examples of this in our church. Our board uses their gift of leadership to lead our church. The worship teams use their gifts of music to serve in our Sunday services. Our sound technicians use their knowledge of sound and technology to make our services more enjoyable, more interactive. The greeters use their gifts of hospitality to welcome each person that walks through those doors on Sunday mornings. And our Sunday school teachers use the gifts of teaching to teach our children about the love of Jesus. Some of you may not be serving in one of those areas, but maybe you fit in one of those areas. All these different parts make up the body, and they make the body work. And these are just a few of the many ministries happening here at Sunnyside. What if everyone used their talent, their gift, their ability, their passion and skill to engage in actively serving the church. And through the church, serving the community. What would happen? And imagine if we took that same servant's heart that we have here at Sunnyside and bring that to our families, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into the world. We would be unstoppable. God's light would not be kept in these four walls. It would go into our communities, into our world. So what do we do? I want to challenge you today, this week, to step into ministry. I'm not saying that you need to step into full-time vocational ministry. However, that may be what some of you feel that you need to do. But I want to invite you to step into ministry. I want to challenge you to take your gifts, your skills, your talents, your abilities and passions, and start to use them in the church to serve the world. But there are five things that you may need to do. First is you may need to spend time identifying what your gift is. Because until you do that, you can't serve. Second, maybe you need to speak to one of the pastors and discuss where you might best fit. You may need to reevaluate where you are currently serving. Are you being filled up as much as you're pouring out? You may need to explore various ministries and be free to fail. It's okay to fail. And lastly, you may need to start something new. So in closing today, let's take those gifts that God has given us, come together as the body of Christ, as different as we are, and work together. I want to close with a quote from English writer and theologian G.K. Chesterton. It says, "We do not want, as the newspapers say, a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have gifted each of us with different gifts, with unique gifts, God, and place us in this body, your body, the church here at Sunnyside. I pray that as we go this week, that we would uncover what that gift is, how we are to use it, and then get plugged in to serving your community, to bringing your kingdom to our world. We thank you again for all that you have done, all that you are going to do here in the community at Sunnyside. We thank you.